Today's inspirational sound, Victor FM. It's the Morning Drive. I'm Chris. We're talking with Dr. Gary Habermas from Liberty University about experiences involving and pertaining to life after death, if you will. There have been some books and a recent movie come out about people effectively dying. They see some form of heaven or beings, and then they are returned back to their bodies. And we were just chatting about that this morning. Dr. Habermas, before we continue, tell us about yourself. How long have you been with Liberty University? And then and give us a rundown of who Dr. Gary Habermas is.
Well, I have been here since 1981, so I'm an old guy. What's that make, 33, it seems like? 33 years here at Liberty,
yeah.
And I was teaching a couple other places before that. So I'm enjoying my time here.
You've given several hundred interviews involving apologetics and things of this nature.
Correct. I teach primarily in the PhD program here in the seminary, which is a PhD in theology and apologetics. I teach most of the area of apologetics, which is evidences for what we believe.
Mm-hmm.
I work most of all in the area of the resurrection of Jesus, and it's just kind of an extension of the resurrection of Jesus is the question of afterlife, because that's kind of where we're going when we raise these questions.
Dr. Habermas, with this seeming influx of books that we've seen here at the bookstore anyway at Liberty University, and then the new movie out, what's the deal? Why all of this attention all of a sudden?
Well, it's been around for a long time, since at least the early 90s. Well, stories like this have been around forever. I mean, Plato records one hundreds of years B.C. But the latest flurry of activity, is, as you refer to it, has been around since at least the early 70s. And I think a lot of it has to do with our ability scientifically to bring people back from, you know, precipitous type occasions, and also to measure things. And so then when they start saying that they had experiences, people start listening. I mean, I think that accounts for it. I just saw, by the way, a movie deal that was published in the paper just a couple days ago, and that movie is already in the top five in the country, so that probably accounts for some of this.
The section in the bookstore was called Campus Favorites, and we're assuming that these are the books that the Liberty University students are interested in reading. Are college kids interested in reading about this type of subject matter?
Oh, yeah. For many years, I have been going to college campuses, and I'm usually asked to speak on the resurrection, which, of course, is its own sort of afterlife topic, and this is Easter season. But probably the second most popular topic I've done for many years now is this near-death experiences. It's almost like everyone's always willing to wait and listen, be it the talk show or something else on television, because it's a perennial favorite kind of question.
Let's just talk about the evangelical church for a minute.
Okay.
What's the common response to this type of subject matter?
Well, sometimes you get skeptical responses. Just yesterday, I think it was, I read a blog by an evangelical scholar who was opposed to it. But by and large, I get a lot of responses. People send me these things regularly because of the work I've done on them. And I'd say it's almost always positive. Now, they kind of have to put on the back burner some of the tough questions. I mean, what happens when an avowed atheist says, hey, it was wonderful, and I was floating outside my body, and yeah, it was great, you know? And what do we say about those kind of things? But just the news that there's an afterlife is startling and affirmative and so on to many people.
What are typically the common things that people see when they experience this?
Well, what's very well known is a potpourri of experiences, supposedly, and that is sometimes a person looks down and sees themselves on the bed, and they're not even aware that that's them on the bed in the hospital or whatever, or in the wrecked car or whatever. And I think they don't realize it's them, because we always identify ourselves where our consciousness is. And if I'm 10 feet up in the air, like I'm looking down from a ladder, well, then that can't mean me down there, because I'm where I experience my consciousness. So they see that person. They don't know who it is. And then it dawns on them, I might be dead. And then they kind of zip off through a long, dark tunnel, and they come into a beautiful light, and all the emotions that reach them, from music to colors to being greeted by a person they think is an angel or Jesus, are just incalculably comforting. But it turns out that that little tiny scenario I just gave you is it only happens a certain percentage of the time. It's not what, quote-unquote, always happens. There's a range of things that people report, and that gets people's attention.
We're talking with Dr. Gary Habermas from Liberty University. We'll come back in just a second and continue with Dr. Habermas about life after death, if you will, going to heaven and coming back here on The Morning Drive. What evidence exists concerning the afterlife, and how do we know whether or not these types of experiences are in fact true?
Yeah, I think just the report that the person has this wonderful feeling is not terribly evidential. I mean, you might listen to them and say, wow, I mean, that's cool. Like, people tell us all kinds of experiences, and we think that's pretty neat. Boy, you got to go to Hawaii. Wow. Europe. Wow, that's nice.
Right.
But we don't know exactly what's going on. And that applies to both Christians who have these experiences and non-Christians who have them. But some of the evidence would be if while they're, quote-unquote, out, whatever that means, dead, near dead, they're called near-death experiences.
Mm-hmm.
The evidential cases would be this worldly thing. So when a person says, well, I'm an atheist, but I was fine, I was in heaven, I don't know about that part of the experience, including when Christians say that, because they didn't bring back a piece of heaven with them.
Right.
But the kinds of evidence would be like if they're in a room and they have a cardiac arrest, there's no windows, let's just say. They're in a bathroom. And the rescue squad gets there, and they're working on them. And the person kind of drifts a little higher and a little higher, and they're up above the house, and they say, yeah, I saw this car accident one street over. You couldn't have seen it from any window in your house.
And you wonder
why they're seeing that. And so just out of curiosity, you know somebody in the police department and you get a police report. It's just what they described. And you think, how could that be happening when there's no measurable brain or heart activity, which is what happens after cardiac arrest? So those are the evidential cases. The case that I went to heaven and I heard beautiful music and saw the most gorgeous flowers and colors. I mean, that could very well happen, but that's not where we get the kind of evidence I'm talking about. The evidence is this worldly, measurable type of things, the same thing you say in your newspaper every day.
Is it possible that when people who don't necessarily claim any type of faith in God experience this, do we run into a situation where we could say, hey, it's possible that there's more than one way to heaven?
Yeah, because I don't think we should even say, I mean, an easier question than there's more than one way to heaven would be, let's start with the beginning. This is not a challenge to, is there more than one way to heaven, unless they've really been where they say they've been. And I don't have any evidence that they've been there. I mean, let's put it this way. If they don't have any corroboration, here's why I know I'm outside my body, I drifted up above the homes and I saw a car accident three blocks away. But what are they going to say about the heaven thing? What separates the heaven case from an hallucination or a dream or a really good feeling? Or, you know, as a professor friend of mine, I heard him ask a person a long time ago who just said, I don't need to believe in evidences for religion. I just feel good about religion. He said, well, with all due respect, how do you know that that's not heartburn? That's the tough question about the heaven part. If you want evidence for what you believe, then you're pretty much talking about you were up above your body, and that's really incredible because we expect people, Christians and non-Christians alike, to live after death. And as far as why didn't you wing away to heaven, why were you watching this car accident, usually it only happens for 30 seconds or a minute. And secondly, the person's not totally dead. They're not, you know, you're not burying the body. They're working on you.
Right.
I think the evidence part is neat because I think we expect to be in an afterlife, whether you're a Christian or non-Christian. As far as when they kind of drift away and say they went up to heaven, I listen. I don't care if they're a believer or an unbeliever, but I can't write that up and say there's evidence there that they went to heaven in either case.
It is interesting that there is an opportunity to stop and see yourself lying there.
And
to float up above yourself and
right.
It's interesting that would happen. Well, are there any keys to, let's say a Christian gets into a discussion about the afterlife and these types of experience, how do we talk to non-believers about this?
Well, that's a great question. I've got a friend, Greg Kokol. He teaches apologetics, and I'm borrowing his quick little deal here. But he says, I don't have to convert a person all the time. I can just put a stone in their shoe. I can, you know, make them think about something where they have to stop and take their shoe off and get the stone out. Well, for an unbeliever, I think it's worthwhile to just get them thinking about the afterlife and to point out, hey, this is what I expect with my worldview. It's not what you expect with your worldview if you're an atheist or some kind of non-religious person. If, on the other hand, you're a member of some other religious group or you just believe in New Age or general religiosity, they might say, well, this sounds like it backs my view more than yours. And that's where you use the response, well, I don't know how it backs your view. I don't know how it proves either one of our views because we don't know that that person was in heaven. We don't, you know, how do I know the difference between what they experienced in a dream?
Right.
So, but it's most effective, I think, for people who say they don't believe in an afterlife. And you go, well, what do you do about this? And what do you do about the evidence, the evidential portion, the car accident or whatever? And I'm kind of putting a stone in their shoe.
Right. Wow. Dr. Habermas, thank you so much for joining us this morning on The Morning Drive.
Not a problem, Chris. I enjoy doing it. Thank you.